The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus went on to say to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. No secret will not be made known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. And whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. The invitation in the proclamation of God's word is to listen to the word, not to study the word, not just to read the word, but to listen to the word. And when we listen seriously to the word of God, at times it will console us, and at times it may disturb us. And yet the word of God is alive. Keep in mind that the proclamations of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, are not given to us in institutional language. They are given to us in a radical language of growth and change. So let me look at the gospel reading which we have today, which announces to us this affirmation not to be afraid. Do not be afraid to take seriously the word of God and to proclaim that word in the manner in which we live. In the Jewish tradition, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. It will begin this year in September. In the beginning of the new year for the Jewish people, it's a time of reflection on creation. It's also a time of self-examination, of a deeper look at ourselves, some deeper understanding of the journey of life and the presence of the Creator, the God who cannot be named, the presence of this God in the weaving of life. And after 10 days, it's concluded with Yom Kippur, which is the highest of all the holy days for the Jewish people. And this is called the Day of Atonement, when they are urged to ask for forgiveness for their sins. Therefore, it's easy to understand how in the Gospel of Mark, which is the earliest of the Gospel, that Jesus begins with a proclamation about change. In chapter 1 in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, "The time of fulfillment is here. The reign of God is among you. Repent, repent, and believe in the good news." Now, repent is not a good translation of the Greek. The Greek is metanoia. In Greek, nous means mind. Meta literally means beyond or above. Properly translated, this means change your mind. Change your mind. The time of fulfillment is here. So the proclamation of Jesus is to unlearn what we have known up to now, to reach out into a new space, to see with new eyes, to understand with a new mind. Change your mind. Unlearn. William Barry, this distinguished psychologist, Jesuit priest, in his wonderful book on the spiritual exercises, offers us this insight. There are two dominant energies in the spiritual life. The first one is fear, and the second one is love. Carlos Valles, this extraordinary priest in Gujarat in India, I first met this man in 1990 in India and Gujarat, and in his book, Let Go of Fear, he tells this story. On one occasion during the springtime, he was riding his bicycle in the countryside, and nature was alive. The birds were singing, the flowers were blooming, the air was clean, everything was harmonious and perfect, and all of a sudden, everything changed. There was silence in the air, and he stopped. And he got off his bicycle, and then he looked, and there, 3 or 4 feet in front of him, he saw a cobra rising out of the grass with his hood spreading, ready to attack. The cobra didn't look at Carlos, took no notice of him. The cobra was focused on a bird, on a low branch just above him. This is what the cobra does. The bird was frozen, and the cobra was ready to attack. And Carlos made some noise, and the snake recoiled and disappeared, and then the bird began to fly. What Carlos Valles teaches us is that fear paralyzes you. Fear diminishes you. You're frozen when you're overcome by fear. What do we fear? We fear change. We fear failure. We fear new ideas. We fear losing control, losing power. We fear somehow questioning the certainties of our belief. And the children of fear, division, prejudice, negative judgment, jealousy, greed, sometimes violence, is a child of fear. So when fear becomes our dominant energy, we are diminished, we become paralyzed, and somehow we enter into an economy of response which is very destructive when fear is our dominant awareness. The second one, says William Barry, is love. Love unites. Love creates relationships. Love builds community. Love ennobles a person. Loves give meaning to our lives. Love enriches us. The children of love, forgiveness, compassion, understanding, patience, generosity, gratitude is a child of love. Love gives us energy. Love gives us life. When we look at the environment in which we live today, the social upheaval. I spoke 2 weeks ago about George Floyd and the tragic death that man endured and how somehow it became a tragedy and a dying across our land and beyond. During this past week, the Supreme Court handed down a decision about gender discrimination. How does the gospel speak to this? Why are we afraid? Here at Holy Family, we have 80 or more ministries. We have ministries to the elderly, to the young, to those who are grieving. We have ministries to the sick. We have a music ministry. We have ministry for proclaiming the word. We have a ministry that handles our media. These are all volunteer ministries. And for some 20 years or so, we've had a ministry here for the LGBTQ community. Every ministry is a gift to the church. Every ministry brings the church to life. Every ministry gives meaning to the word of God, brings the gospel into flesh and blood. Over the years in visiting with our LGBTQ community, I have seen the pain. I have seen the wound. I have witnessed the tears. What kind of society could discriminate against a person in a job interview because of gender? What social or moral philosophy would allow us to do that? What kind of family, calling themselves followers of Jesus Christ, could exclude or wound or separate somebody within their community of family because of gender? What kind of church, listening to the word of God, could discriminate against somebody because of gender? How does the word of God relate to the present moment? How do we see beyond? How do we unlearn what has been the norm? How do we search for a new understanding of ourselves and a new understanding of our community? How do we look at everybody, no matter the color, the gender, each person as a brother and a sister, members of our families? These are our brothers. These are our sisters. These are our children. Some cases, these are our parents. How does the gospel come to life for us? That's the living word of God. Do not be afraid, said Jesus. Proclaim the word. What you have heard in secret, speak from the housetops. What I have shared with you, proclaim without fear. Don't be anxious. Be led by love. In the first epistle of John, we are told, God is love. Let me give you an example of unlearning. This happened to me here at Holy Family about 20 years ago or a long time ago. When this parish was growing, I thought we should have a parish song, just our song. It would unite us. It would give us identity, speak to the soul and the meaning, the flesh and blood of Holy Family. So after lots of discussion, we went around and around, came up with this song, a Marty Hagen song, All Are Welcome. Let us build a house where love can dwell. All are welcome here. And we had it printed up, and we all sang this. We still sing that today. All are welcome. And we're singing this, and we're feeling good about ourselves, and this is wonderful. We're holy people, and all are welcome at Holy Family, and we are so holy, and we're blessed, and we're wonderful. Shortly thereafter, at the 9:30 Mass, which was live-streamed in those days, it was the only Mass that we live-streamed then. At communion time, two gay men came up the aisle to communion, one walking behind the other, each carrying an infant baby. They didn't want to receive the Eucharist, they wanted a blessing. They were clearly non-Catholics. So I gave them the blessing, each of them. And afterwards, I went to Julie Smith, who was directing the telecast at that time. I said, Julie, I hope you didn't get any tight shots of the communion. And Julie said, no, I saw those two fellows. I got some wide shots. And I said, that's good. Well, that night I was sitting in my chapel reflecting on my day, and I was saying, we are so dishonest. Me, I am saying all are welcome, but all are not welcome. We have this pejorative tolerance, which we call welcome, which is unreal. There's no warmth, there's no love, there's no care, there's no understanding, there is no bond in this. It's something that happens with a distance, with a division between us. So I felt ashamed of myself saying, wow, all are welcome, but all are not welcome. The next day I went to Julie and I said, Julie, next Sunday, don't change anything. Get the communion just as we always do. And these two men came up the next Sunday for a blessing. And after I gave them a blessing, I said, I would like to talk with you after Mass. They probably thought they were in trouble. I met them after Mass in our gathering area. I said, you are welcome here. I want to get to know you. I want to know your names. Tell me something about yourselves. Tell me about your babies. Well, they told me about these two babies they had. One was a Down syndrome child. The other was damaged at birth. They were parenting these children, these babies. Well, I saw their humanity. I saw their goodness. I saw God's presence in them. And I called all the parishioners to say, meet our new parishioners. I want you to get to know them. They're an important part of our community. And they came here every Sunday for a long period of time, and then they moved away, and we saw them no more. But God sent them among us to teach us. All are welcome. That's the proclamation of God's word. If you read the history of the Roman Empire, you will come upon a man, lived about 150 years before Christ. And he was a black man from Africa, probably from Carthage. And his name was Publius Terentius Afer. He was brought to Rome as a slave, but he was so brilliant, he became a celebrated playwright, and he earned his freedom from slavery. His seminal statement was this. It is written in Latin. Homo sum, humani nihil me, alienum puto, which is translated, I am a human being, and nothing human is alien from me. It's before Christ, and yet it's a pre-Christian insight into the proclamation of God's word. So my friends, do not be afraid. Change your mind. Unlearn and be reborn in the word of God. Amen. It has been our tradition here for many years to sing an Irish melody dedicated to fathers. It's called The Auld Man. If you are at home and your father is with you in your family, I want you to gather around your father. Place your hands upon him in blessing. If your father is absent from your presence, perhaps is deceased or is away from home, pause for a moment. Summon him back into your presence. Humanize him. If he needs forgiveness, forgive him. Bring him to life in his humanity, not perfection, but the beauty of being human. For nothing is alien from us which is human. And here is a blessing. I give this blessing to my father. I love to sing this song for my father and for your father and perhaps anyone else in your life, perhaps an uncle, a grandfather, somebody who fathered you, who blessed you, and who called you to live a full life. Here is the blessing on Father's Day. It's a gift which each of us somehow share. The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend, and he'll still be heard in the tunes we've shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me, like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am, though he may be gone. miss him, the old man. I thought he'd live forever. He looked so big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. God, I miss him, the old man. Amen. A blessing to all fathers. Amen.